What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Today, hello. I'm going to be sharing with you guys the disappearance of Carly Gousset.
That name is so familiar. Like, I've definitely heard that before.
And so have I. And I, like, don't know where I've heard this case before because it's, I mean, her case definitely got, like, national and even beyond national, you know, media attention. But I feel like I've heard about it, didn't know a lot of the details, but that name, yeah, was very familiar to me too. And I was like, wait a minute.
When did it happen?
It happened in 2018. So Not too long ago.
Wow. Interesting. Cause I was thinking, like, I wonder if I had heard it like when I first started listening to true crime or something, and that's why it sounded familiar, but I don't think it is because I didn't really start listening to true crime till like actually listening till like 2019. And I feel like I've seen it more recently.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there was, which we'll get into, it doesn't really pertain to her case necessarily, but her name was brought back up in the media because of something else that happened in her family back in like 2021. So maybe that's why, but maybe, even still, it's not like a huge detail that would have maybe triggered, I don't know, something with her name specifically, but
yeah,
maybe just the name, it sticks out, you know, it's not a common name, Carly Gousset. Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad you're covering it then.
Yeah. And it's sadly unsolved, obviously, because it's a disappearance case, which is all the more reason to share it. So let's get into it. Carly Lane Gousset was born on May 13th, 2002, to her parents, Lindsay Fairley and Zachary Gousset. Carly was the second child to her parents. The couple also had an older son named Kane. When Carly was a toddler, her parents divorced, and soon after, and I say that not meaning it in any like disrespectful way, because there's not a specific date that her father remarried, but he did get remarried to her stepmother, Melissa, and it was in a, you know, a small time frame, I guess, after they were divorced. So, not important,
And we don't know the dynamic. Maybe they had like split up earlier or something, but
And they had a amicable divorce. Okay. Like they were on good terms. Like they, you know, shared time with their kids. The mother, Lindsay, she had primary custody of the kids, but they spent a lot of time with their father as well.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So Zachary and Melissa went on to have two additional sons, Branson and Cole. And Carly and her older brother, Kane, lived with their mother, Lindsay.
Okay, got it.
But in 2018, Carly's mother, Lindsay, decided she was going to move to Nevada. And Carly wanted to stay close to her friends and family. So she opted to stay in Bridgeport, California with her father and stepmother.
Okay. And how old was she?
She was 16 at the time, I believe.
Okay.
She was 16.
Okay, so like that's so understandable. Like you don't want to leave. You don't want to have to start over with new friends, new school, all of that. So that's nice that she was able to like, I'm sure her mother was sad, but like at least she was able to like stay with her father and, you know, continue going to school and all of that.
Right. That's what I said too. I was like, I probably would want to stay. I mean, she has a really good relationship with her dad and her stepmom. So why not, you know, stay with them? And
especially not at 16, that far away.
You could still see your mom and stuff.
Yeah. And you're so close to finishing high school at that point that it's like you could move after high school because everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people probably are going to move anyway. So like, you know, it's like, what, two more years? You can visit your mom during that time.
Yeah. And it's unclear, like, I think her brother Kane was already like moved out or like away at college, because it doesn't sound like he went to Nevada, but it's unclear exactly like what his path was after his mom moved.
Okay.
So despite the distance, Carly maintained a close relationship with her mom, and she visited frequently, and they kept in touch, you know, through phone calls and text messaging. They were very close, so they were in pretty constant contact with one another.
Got it. So they're like still normally besties. Talking. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Carly is described as your typical teenager. She loved dancing and spending time with her friends. Those that were close with her often remarked on her sweet nature and her deep affection she had for her younger brothers. Aww. So they were significantly younger than her. I don't know exactly the age range, but based on the pictures I saw, they were probably like 8 and 10 or 10 and 12 around the time that she went missing. So there was a little bit of an age gap there.
So it's almost like she's like the almost like the motherly older sister role, not just like a normal like older sister.
Yeah, like not like annoying little brothers, like you know, like she actually loved her baby brothers. Like
that's so sweet.
Yeah. So when Carly wasn't attending classes at Bishop Union High School, she worked a part-time job as an escrow assistant at the title company her stepmom worked for. Her friends spoke about how she was fun-loving and had a remarkable sense of humor, and everyone that worked with her at the title company talked about how fun she was to be around. Like, she was responsible, but she still knew how to, like, laugh and, like, have a good time, which is, I think, important and, you know, normal for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, she just seems like such an amazing person.
Yeah. So she was kind of on the introverted side, but despite this, she managed to be popular among her peers at school. So she had a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, a lot of people knew who she was, even though she was a little bit more on the shy side when it came to, you know, large groups of people or just people she wasn't like super, super close with.
Right. I feel like that's totally understandable. It's like the, what do people say? Introverted extrovert?
Extrovert, yeah.
Which is like, that's totally how I am. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
So, definitely. I love that.
Yeah. On October 12th, 2018, the night before Carly disappeared, she asked her parents if she could go to a football game at her high school. They agreed, but little did they know that Carly intended to skip the game with her boyfriend, Donald, to attend a small quote-unquote party instead.
All right.
Which, again, is not crazy, is not unheard of. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, obviously it's not in character for her. Like, her parents weren't like, oh, yeah, this is typical Carly, you know, lying to us. Like, they trusted her, and it does sound like it was out of character for her. But I feel like for a 16-year-old girl,
This happens. Yeah, it totally happens. And it doesn't sound like it was like some crazy rager that she was like gonna be going to. Like, it, you know, she's like, maybe I'm wrong, but.
Well, no, it wasn't a crazy rager, but it was reported in several sources that it was not really a party, but more so a gathering that was primarily focused on like them getting high.
Okay.
So like smoking weed, getting high, like I forget what they call it, like a circle, a weed circle. I don't know. That's not what they call it.
That's not in my wheelhouse at all.
Smoke.
I did not
do it. Like smoke blunts, pass around blunts, yeah. Whatever. I
just like hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay.
I'm out of the loop. Okay.
I know. We're not in high school anymore.
No.
But yeah, that like not in character for her specifically, but also it doesn't feel like it's like some big elaborate lie that she created. Like she just, you know, like
she's not going to a rave or
exactly.
You know.
That's what I was trying to say. Like it's not like it was some, you know, web of lies that she spun. She's just going to hang out with her boyfriend at this like gathering that her parents probably wouldn't be thrilled about her going to.
Yeah. And it was a school night. So they probably would have been like, I don't think you need to be going to a party on a school night. Yeah. So maybe don't do that. Go to your football game. So around 8 p.m., Melissa phoned Carly and offered to give her a ride back from the game, but Carly declined and said that Donald would actually be giving her a ride home,
okay,
which was fine. You know, again, not out of the normal. According to sources, Carly had some adverse reactions from smoking pot, and she began expressing paranoias about someone watching and or following her.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, again, like, I don't think that's way out in left field for somebody who maybe is not a frequent marijuana smoker. Like, it tends to entice feelings of paranoia,
yeah,
and anxiety. It sounds like maybe in the past she had smoked weed before and like didn't have a great reaction. You know, just some people don't,
yeah,
mesh well with certain drugs. And you know, even if it's just like just quote unquote just weed, like,
yeah,
you can still have weird, you know, responses to it.
Or like, you know, like that happens with alcohol with some people. I know some people who, yeah, don't drink just because like their bodies like do not tolerate it well. So it's like that, right, just happens, and that's totally, yeah, fine.
Yeah. We're all made up of different chemistry, you know, brain chemistry, and sometimes it just reacts differently with different things.
Yeah.
So she begins like acting a little erratically, and her boyfriend, I guess, suggested that maybe she should call and get a ride.
Okay.
He didn't want things to escalate. So she eventually did call Melissa and asked if she would be willing to pick her up, that she was actually at a party and that she was afraid.
Okay. And that like speaks to the relationship that she had with her parents, that she,
yeah,
was able to do that. And like that, my husband and I have talked about that, like that's the type of parents we want to be, where it's like,
yeah,
you know, like, if you're in trouble, call us, and we're not going to like get mad at you or get you in trouble. Like, we just want you to be safe, and like, you can always, right, call us without worrying about like us getting upset at you. And so like, right, props to her parents for fostering the type of relationship that she felt like she could do that.
I completely agree. I think it's so important to have that like open door policy. Like, of course, you're going to be upset and disappointed in your child, but you want them to first and foremost come to you because you're the only one equipped enough to keep them safe. Yeah. Even if you can't do everything they need you to do, like, you can at least guide them and lead them to what they need,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So definitely props to them for having that, like you said, fostering that kind of, that type of relationship with their daughter.
Yeah. And to her for knowing that she could do that.
Yeah.
Because that takes, yeah, like, I feel like that takes some guts to do that. Like, hell, you, yeah, don't want to admit that, like, you lied and that you needed help.
Could not have been me. Like, nope. I did not have that type of relationship with my parents. I was terrified of my parents. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did have my grandma. I called my grandma to, aww, come and help me and pick me up and stuff. Oh, so,
that's sweet. Yeah.
I was, at least I had somebody.
I was like very much goody two shoes in high school and like didn't need to have that. But I definitely, there were a couple times where like I went to parties like my senior year of high school, like the end of my senior year of high school, where, or even like in college when I was back home, where my, yeah, parents like knew that I was drinking and like planned to come pick me up.
Yeah. I feel like your parents are like that. Like, yeah, they are understanding that you're like a young person and you're going to do these things, and, mm-hmm, they trust you enough to be like, okay,
yeah,
let's let her figure it out. And, yeah, if we're here, if she needs us.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, props to Carly for like having the guts to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when, of course, Melissa's like, oh my God, terrified, what's going on, confused. Her father, Zachary, he was at work. So Melissa was the first line of defense.
Okay.
So when she arrived at the address that Carly had given her, Carly was nowhere to be found. So frantic, Melissa immediately left and drove to search for her stepdaughter.
Yeah, because that's like she, where'd, is obviously, she go, in an impaired state. Like, where, yeah, is she?
Right. Thankfully, about a mile up the road, Melissa spotted a cell phone light in the distance. And to her gratefulness, it was Carly.
Oh, okay. I mean,
yeah.
it's not much of a relief because I know she disappears, but like.
I know. There's a couple of other moments like that too where you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That must have been so scary.
I know. And like she reported later that Carly was like running in the dark. Like it was pitch black. Girl. Like this area of town is this area that they live in. It's, you know, very remote and the other word rural. So it's not like they have a lot of like street lights and like right. She literally just saw her cell phone flashlight. That's so how she was saw probably her.
So like paranoid and freaked out. And that's
yeah,
why she was
booking it. Yeah. Ugh. So Melissa managed to get Carly into the vehicle and she knew right away that something was very off.
Okay.
Melissa would later recall that Carly, quote, looked pale as a ghost and added that her pupils were dilated and that she appeared to be high on some sort of drug or drugs.
Okay.
So when they got back home, Zachary, her father, he had gotten home from work and she ended up confessing to her parents that she had smoked weed that night.
Okay.
Her father was afraid because he suspected that maybe the weed that she had smoked had been laced with another substance.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a possibility. It's like, it's not very common that that happens, especially with like young people. Cause like, I mean, these days you have to be careful of like fentanyl and things like that. But I mean, it's happened. Yeah. It's happened to me.
Scary.
I smoked weed that was laced with something and had some really not great visual effects, and they just, you know, young people, stupid, getting things from people they don't know. So
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, like especially when if all these kids are in high school, like they're just getting what they can get, like they're
they
not,
can get yeah, yeah they don't care, they're just like woo yay weed, like
yeah.
So you know, he's worried that might be the case, or maybe it's just a bad reaction to marijuana in general. But Carly continued to exhibit erratic and paranoid behavior throughout the rest of the night.
Okay.
So to kind of ensure that she was okay, her stepmother, Melissa, decided to stay in Carly's room with her that night. And she kind of was like trying to lay there until Carly eventually passed out.
Yeah.
So as they laid in Carly's bed, Carly talked with Melissa, saying things like, I love you. I really messed up today. I'm so glad you came to get me.
Stop. But,
I know. But then she also asked Melissa questions like, are you going to call 911? Am I going to live until tomorrow? And are you going to kill me?
Oh my gosh.
So she definitely was having, you know,
yeah,
a roller coaster ride of emotions, you know, yeah, not her normal self.
This was clearly really affecting her.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So at this point, Melissa decided to take out her phone and secretly record Carly.
Okay.
And she would later confess that she wanted to show Carly this video the following day to kind of teach her an important lesson about the effects of being under the influence.
That's so like, fair.
Yeah, I mean, at first it was like, that's kind of weird, but like at the same time, I think that is a good way to like show somebody that they're behaving that way.
Yeah, and especially because Carly might not remember
how
she was acting and stuff. So like that's a smart way to be able to be like, hey, like, you know, I'm not like pissed off at you that you did this, but like you need to learn that this isn't okay.
Like,
and like
do this again.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a good way to do it. And it doesn't seem like Melissa was gonna like send this video to anybody or, you know, use it for any
like
other
malicious.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right. So after several hours, Carly finally drifted off to sleep. And like I mentioned, Melissa kind of intended on staying awake to make sure that Carly was okay. But sometime between 5 and 6 a.m., she accidentally dozed off. And when she awoke a couple of hours later, Carly was gone.
That's scary.
Yeah. So once again, frantic, Melissa and Zachary went to search for Carly. They spent 2 agonizing hours driving around White Mountain Estates, which was the area that they lived. And they also drove around the vast, desolate Mojave Desert, which was right outside of where they lived.
That's so scary because they're like, they don't know like what state she's in at this point. Like, yeah, it's been a couple hours, but like she could very well still be paranoid and like knowing that she was sprinting in the dark down the road.
Right.
Oh, that's really scary.
I know. And they kind of thought like, okay, maybe she woke up. She wanted to get some fresh air, take a breather, decompress, gather her thoughts, like whatever. Maybe she went for a walk. But after tracing their steps over and over again, that sinking feeling started to settle in and they feared the worst. So with each passing minute that failed to bring them closer to finding Carly, Zachary made the decision to call her mother, Lindsay. Lindsay's urgent response was clear. Contact the authorities immediately. So they told her basically the events of the night before, that she had ingested some type of illicit substance. She was not acting herself. She was being erratic, paranoid, and that they went when they woke up that morning, she was gone.
And the fact that Melissa like stayed in the room to try to like prevent this from happening.
I know. And then it happened.
I know.
So around 9:30 a.m., Zachary calls the Mono County Sheriff's Department and reports his daughter missing. Carly was seen by several witnesses walking south, approximately 30 yards east of Highway 6 and 100 yards south of Sierra View Road. So this is in very close proximity to her house.
Okay.
She was spotted by 3 witnesses. I think it was 3 witnesses initially, specifically, that saw her.
Right.
And authorities immediately conducted a thorough search of this area as well as much of the Mojave Desert that surrounded their town as they could.
And that's a vast area. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Right. I know by now they've done the entire area that is, you know, accessible to human beings. But I think at that time they were basically just searching like those little like outskirts of the town. Yeah. Because like you said, right, it's so big that it would be impossible for them to do it all like in a timely fashion. But they knew, okay, right, based on the time that she probably left, like she likely only got this far on foot.
Right. Okay.
And ultimately, they were not able to find any sign of her. So they did a thorough search of Carly's home, specifically her bedroom, and they noticed that she had left all of her personal belongings behind, her phone, her glasses, her wallet, which had a good amount of cash inside. And thankfully, because of this, authorities did not automatically assume that she was a runaway. So,
okay, good, yeah, good.
We love to hear that.
Especially in this case, like, I mean, it's good that right, they took it seriously, like knowing that she was under the influence of something, but I feel like they could have been like, oh, she's probably just, you know, out walking around, like you said, like taking a breather or whatever. So we're going to search, right, but like, we're not going to label her a missing person. But I'm glad that they took it seriously and, you know, started everything right away.
Yeah, same. Unfortunately, there was some misinformation given to investigators by Carly's stepmother, Melissa, early on in the investigation.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't understand why, like, unless she just honestly just couldn't remember exactly what happened that morning. But initially, Melissa stated that she had gotten up around 5:45, as she typically did, to get the kids ready for school. And when she opened Carly's door, she found that she was not in her bed. She proceeded to ask Zachary if he had seen her that morning, and he had not. But we now know that the truth was, as I mentioned previously, Melissa had slept in the room with Carly the night before to make sure that Carly was okay and accidentally fell asleep.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It is weird. And I don't understand it, but like, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt based on everything else that I quote unquote know about her in this case.
And we don't know how we would react in a situation like this. Like, she could be in like pure shock or fear mode or something and like,
yeah,
just not be thinking straight and almost like things be a blur. And then the other thing is, if she was like up all night with
and like not clear headed,
like, I feel like, I mean, I've been barely getting sleep because I have a young child, and it's like I wake up sometimes and I'm like, did that even happen? Like, my husband will say, you know, how many times did you wake up with the baby last night? And I'm like, I have no freaking clue, like, because I was up
so many
half the night. So, you know, like, I feel like if that's the state that you're in, you might not like think straight.
Yeah.
But did she ever say like, no, I actually remember like I was up with her all night?
Yeah, she did tell the police. Yeah. So she kind of recanted her initial claims and then told the truth. But I also had the thought of maybe she had like shame and embarrassment because they knew that she was like intoxicated and possibly overdose, not maybe not overdosing, but like just having a really bad reaction. And instead of taking her in, they just decided to monitor her.
Right.
You know, they made that call. So maybe like that played a role in her.
It could have. Or even just like knowing that she was in the room and fell asleep and Carly was able to leave like when she was asleep, like the guilt or something could have been like the initial why she didn't say anything. But at least the fact that she like came forward and like told the like quote unquote truth and whatever, you know, like said, no, this is actually what happened. Like, I don't find it suspicious at all or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do wish that she, you know, gave a little more clarity as to why she lied or, you know, misinformed police, but I don't
she also might not know.
Yeah. Like, she might not. I don't think it's like some deep, dark, sinister thing based on the information that I am given.
But I'm sure that people have spiraled with that and said, like,
So this recanting of her original statement made people very, very suspicious of Melissa, especially Carly's mother, Lindsay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Zachary and Melissa have endured harassment due to these speculations, you know, suggesting that they are somehow possibly involved in Carly's disappearance based on these false accounts of what happened. But despite the scrutiny, there has been no substantiated evidence to support these allegations, and police have cleared both of them of any involvement, and neither parent has ever been listed as a suspect.
Okay. And I feel like I get why Lindsay was like frustrated with it.
Yeah.
Because your daughter's missing. Like, you have to find somebody to blame, like, whatever.
Right.
But the fact that like they've been cleared, I'm like, okay, they're not involved. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, like you said, I understand where Lindsay was coming from. And I would be fucking frustrated as hell if somebody was like, I was with your daughter. This is what happened. Just kidding. This is what happened. I would definitely want like an explanation, but they're just, like you mentioned, might not be one. And you just want to know what happened to your kid. So you just,
you want answers. You have to blame somebody. You have to like have somebody to, you know, when there's no answers like this, you grab onto any little anything that you can.
Snippet. So, yeah. Yeah. There have been numerous theories in Carly's case, from her being abducted to her wandering off into the desert nearby and succumbing to the elements. There is also a lot of misinformation circulating Carly's case that is speculative and false, which is really unfortunate because I think it muddies the investigation and makes it more difficult for investigators to do their job because, of course, they have to investigate every tip, every lead. And sometimes when people are speculating and giving false information, that's time wasted. That's resources wasted. So like, maybe let's don't do that. Like, obviously you don't know everything, whether it's true or false, but certain people like to stir the pot a little bit. And
And I feel like we've seen that more recently with like social media and, TikTok and people like posting theories and doing it for views and all of that. And I mean, that's like what a lot of the criticism with like the Gabby Petito disappearance, a lot of the criticism was that people were running with these sightings of her and then sightings of Brian Laundrie. And it's like, yeah, that muddies the waters because investigators, they try to follow up on all the leads. And when people are sensationalizing something to get views or get people to listen to them, it's like, just don't do that. These are real people and you need to do it the right way.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's like, sure, you know, views on TikTok and whatever social media, of course, that's great. That's great. It makes you feel good. It like gets to more people. But if you're doing it for that reason, like,
just don't.
And don't spread misinformation. Like you do a really good job when you share something that you know might not be 100% factual. You always state.
To say that. Yeah, I always like, try to do that.
This has never been confirmed by police, but I do want to mention it because I do feel like it could be a potential important part of the case. So, you know,
but
I think that's a good way to.
That's the way to do it. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
there's definitely people who are doing it out of malice, but, you know, it can be beneficial. But it's so frustrating in cases like this that there's no answers, that people take the smallest things and try to spiral and, like, make up a story about it, and that ends up spreading misinformation, because then people who hear about the case might hear just that piece and then that's what they run with. And it's like, no, you need to hear the information about her that is accurate and true so that you can know what the truth is and like what the actual story is.
Yep. Because that's going to lead to her being found, not the speculations. Frustrating. Despite Carly's mysterious disappearance capturing the interest of people not just nationally but across the globe, authorities are still unable to provide any new leads or insights into her whereabouts. Despite the thousands of tips that have come in on their tip line, there have been no viable leads in Carly's case.
That's so frustrating.
I know. And unfortunately, without any immediate indication of abduction or a detailed physical description of a vehicle involved, authorities were also unable to issue an Amber Alert because she is technically a child. She is 16 years old. And they were not able to do that, unfortunately. Yeah. Carly's mother, Lindsay, fears her daughter may have overdosed that night, the night before she went missing. She is haunted by the unknown fate of Carly's body and the question of why no one would call or report the incident if that is what happened. In an interview with CrimeOnline.com, Lindsay stated, quote, "I believe my daughter had a reaction to whatever it was that she had ingested the night prior to her disappearance. Carly should have been evaluated by competent medical professionals, and a law enforcement agency should have taken a more proactive approach."
I mean, so I definitely agree, but it's like frustrating because it's like, of course, hindsight is 20/20, and you're like, like this is what should have happened. This is what should have been done. But when you're in the moment, you know, they were probably just like, we can monitor her, and if she gets worse, we'll take her. Because, like, while she might have been paranoid, it didn't sound like physically she was, like, experiencing any you know, physical symptoms. So if it's all just kind of in her head, she just needs to sleep it off almost.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, I sympathize with my whole entire heart with Lindsay, like, as a mother and not being there and being able to see how everything transpired and like call, you know, how a mother, like, I hate to say that, but like how a mother reacts and responds, your child that you carried and birthed, like how you would react and respond if you had been there. And unfortunately she wasn't, because she, you know, Carly didn't live with her and wasn't close enough to get her mom to pick her up. And, you know, and unfortunately, like, the cards fell where they fell. And I do sympathize with her mother so much.
I do, too. And it's hard because it's like, I feel like, you know, they did what they thought was best. And also, you don't know how you're going to react. Like I said, hindsight is 20/20. Right. In hindsight, I'm sure everybody wishes that they would have taken her to the hospital. But like, you know, if I were in their place, I probably would have done the exact same thing that they did. Like, you just, you know,
you just don't know until you make you're
the best decision that you can. And unfortunately, in this case, it led to not a great outcome. But it's so frustrating and like hard. I'm sure it's just as hard for her father and stepmother to like know that this happened as it is for her mother.
I mean, it's their responsibility. I mean, they were with her when she went missing, even though they couldn't probably have prevented it from happening unless they tied her to her bed or something crazy. But
I just, from everything that you've presented, I feel like she might have succumbed to the elements. Like, I don't think that she necessarily met with foul play, but my thought is, how could she have gotten that far in that quick of a time period?
Yeah.
Like, are there a lot of animals, like predators, predatory animals?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I mean,
unless she like either like tripped and fell and hurt herself and then an animal got to her and pulled her out into the desert quick enough.
Right.
Or she like passed out and then that happened. Like, how could she have gotten so far that like in those immediate searches they didn't find any sign of her?
Yeah, that's the thing for me too, is like, if she did succumb to the elements, like, they search so quickly, I feel like they would have had like found some sign of her.
Yeah, that's why, like,
they didn't.
I feel like unless it was a predatory animal that like pulled her out into the desert quickly. And then over time, like, as the more extensive searches happened, her body, like, deteriorated more and whatever, like, it wasn't there. Like,
bones were scattered, like,
it's just, like, baffling to me how there was no sign of her, even though they really searched so quickly.
Yeah. And so her father and her stepmother, they have a different theory as to what happened to her. And they suggest that Carly was likely abducted following her departure from home.
I mean, that could very well be the case too.
I mean, and I lean more towards that just for the simple fact that there was no sign of her. There was no like body, her shoe, no blood. I feel like something would have been left behind because of how quickly they search. I mean, let's say her stepmother fell asleep at 6 a.m. She woke up at 7:30. So there's an hour and a half window. And they, like I said, they guesstimated, if you will, how far she could have made it in that time frame. And that's kind of how they based their initial search. So I feel like if she would have, you know, fallen and gotten hurt or, you know, gotten attacked by an animal or something like that, there would be a sign of that. And there just wasn't. Yeah. So it just kind of feels like she just poofed into thin air. And that says to me, somebody snatched her.
Abducted her. Yeah. And that definitely could have been the case. Like, she was clearly impaired and might have been like stumbling or whatever. And if somebody saw her, they could have taken advantage of that.
No, the eyewitnesses, they said she looked like she was not impaired. With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was kind of struggling to get to her destination, wherever that was.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I don't know. I maybe do lean that way a little bit more.
Yeah.
And there's so many bad people out there that like can do something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just never get caught for it. So.
Yeah. That's that's what I lean more towards, is a crime of opportunity. Someone saw her, obviously impaired, walking, you know, with no destination, and took advantage of that situation.
That just like shatters my heart. And the fact that they just have no answers, and there's not even like a hint or a lead or a like you know, we have her body and one day there will be answers because we have DNA or something like that. Like, not only do you not know who potentially who, if foul play was involved, did this to her or what happened to her, but you can't even like lay her to rest or, you know what happened. Because while it's, I'm sure, horrific to like know the details of how your loved one died, at least then you know.
Yeah. You have like a resolution.
Yeah. Oh, what a sad story.
I know.
I really hope one day her family can have answers.
I do too. I hope that they can get closure. But I mean, if she was abducted, there's just no telling. I mean, we've seen it happen before. We say that all the time. Yeah. Like, we do see people get rescued after being abducted for 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it is.
Yeah. And if she is unfortunately no longer alive, like, one day her body could be found and identified.
Yeah. At the time of her disappearance, Carly was likely wearing gray sweatpants or skinny jeans, a white t-shirt, and Vans brand shoes. Carly is a white female with dark blonde to light brown hair and blue eyes. She was approximately 5'7 and 110 pounds at the time of her disappearance. If anyone has any information on Carly's whereabouts, please call the Mono County Sheriff's Office at 760-932-7549, or you can contact the National Center for Missing and Endangered Children at 1-800-843-5678. The Goosey family is offering a reward of $17,500 for the safe return of Carly. In addition to that, the FBI is offering a reward of up to $5,000 for information that leads to her being located. So
it's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody knows something, if somebody saw more than what they recall or, you know, wants to come forward, you can remain anonymous. There's anonymous tips being, you know, that you can make.
Yeah.
But it's just such a sad case that has absolutely no resolution in sight. And I just can't imagine what her mother has gone through, what her stepmother and father have gone through, her poor siblings, her little brothers, like how devastating that must be for all of them to not know what happened to her. And
yeah.
It's
so heartbreaking.
It really is.
You know, hopefully by sharing her story, you never know. And maybe one day there will be answers.
Yeah, I hope so. But that is all I have for you guys today with the disappearance of Carly Goosey. Please share her information. You never know who it could possibly reach. I will have her missing persons poster shared on our Facebook and Instagram, so just click hit the share button.
You never know.
But thank you guys so much for listening. We will have a brand new case for you guys next week, and until then, keep it human.
Bye guys.